you would turn with me or look on the screens, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. This is the first Saturday of the month this weekend. So what does that mean? Church family prayer. Church family prayer at 6 p.m. this Saturday. We're going to have a great time together praying and believing God. And then Sunday we have an evangelist. Brother Ethan Hagen is going to be preaching this Sunday. And he's always a blessing to our church. And so I know that will be wonderful on Sunday. Amen. Also, I want to mention that during our class time this Sunday, we'll be starting First Steps. And First Steps is it's a four-week class during our class time at 10:15 on Sundays. For anybody that's wanting to learn how to be a part of the church, how to get connected, how to serve and be a part, and just to find your place in the kingdom of God, you need to go through First Steps. So if you have not been through First Steps, you need to make sure you're part of that. This weekend will be starting. It's 4 weeks, but starting Sunday. And Sister Brooklyn, would you wave at everybody over here? If you would like to be a part of First Steps, if you're new here or if you've been coming for a while and haven't gone to First Steps, please see Sister Brooklyn here before tonight is over and make sure you get on the list to be a part of First Steps. And then if you have not been through our Next Steps discipleship course, that is the Next Steps. And it's a 12-week class, and it goes through just about everything you can think of, the basics of living for the Lord, the basics of doctrine and all of that, and you need to make sure you're part of that. That'll be starting in February. So if you're interested in being a part of Next Steps, if you would see Brother Milton back there, if you'd raise your hand. Brother Milton, if you'd like to be a part of Next Steps, if you've not been through this discipleship course, you need to go through that. You'll learn so much, and you'll be able to ask all the questions that you've got. And these teachers will hopefully have the answers. If not, they'll go home and study it and come back the next week and be able to help you with the answers. So, and then if they don't know the answers, they'll come ask Pastor, and Pastor will go study it and come back. So anyway, you don't want to miss these opportunities to grow in the Lord. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. This is Jesus. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" Amen. So I want to talk to us here tonight about a tale of two sons. A tale of two sons. Praise the Lord. I wonder just if you'd lay your Bibles down and let's just lift our hands to the Lord and say, God, have your way in my heart. Have your way in our lives tonight. Whatever you want to do, God, however you want to work, however you want to move, I pray that you'd work in us, Lord. I pray that you would move in us. We need you, Jesus. We need your presence. We need your power, Lord. We need your strength. We can't make it without you, God, but we need your help. And I pray that you would touch every single person in Jesus' name. Lord, let your will be done in our lives. And we give you all the glory and the praise, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Please be seated tonight. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Can you imagine hearing those words? But God, we prophesied in your name. And Lord, we cast out devils. And in your name, we did so many wonderful works. And then God says, but I never knew you. Those are words we do not ever, ever, ever want to hear. But Jesus said, not everyone that calls me Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it's those who do the will of the Father. And so it's more than just something we say. But we have to have a relationship that's established by what we do. How many times has tragedy occurred in marriages? A man and woman can live together for 30 or 40 years as husband and wife and never really know each other. Yes, they know each other's habits and they're aware of what each one likes or dislikes, and they've acquired enough knowledge about each other to fill in their name and their birth date and social security number, maybe their blood type, or the basic needs of shelter and food and clothing have brought them together in providing for their family. But it's often too late when the man asks, who really is this woman that I'm married? Who is she? Really down deep inside, who in the world is this? And a man can start growing older and the woman asks, who is this man who fathered my children and who gave me his name? And this man that I've lived with all of these years, I don't really know who he is. And sadly, when the children are gone and the chaos of life slows down, and too common are the husbands and wives that look at each other after many years and say, well, I never knew you. Who are you? You're a stranger. And Jesus warns that too many are going to hear those words in eternity. It wasn't that God wasn't reaching for them. It wasn't that the relationship wasn't available with the Lord, but they never took the opportunity to really know the Lord and to have that relationship with him. They never lived their life in surrender to God's will in their life. And Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. How many people are out there today that they're proclaiming out loud how they're this wonderful Christian and they believe in the Lord and they trust in him and they quote scriptures and they post things about the church, but they don't really know the Lord and they don't have a relationship with him. They don't spend time in prayer. They're not led by his Spirit. They don't follow the word of God. They don't do what he has called them to do. But oh, to hear it on Instagram or Facebook, this is a Christian. And they know all these scriptures and they know all of these things about the word of God, but they don't really know him. I don't think I've ever preached about this parable of two sons. Jesus, he talks about these two very different sons. But perhaps we find a little of both of them in each of us. And whichever one we're more like tells us a lot about where we're headed. Reading our text again in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. And Jesus asked him, he says, which of the two did the will of the Father? They say unto him, the first. And then Jesus calls him out. He says, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So there were two sons. They were both in the same house. And surely the father had the right to ask them to, to help him work. Just as a father today would ask his sons to help and be responsible. But there was two different responses from them. One said no, but then he got to feeling bad and he ended up going. The other said yes, but he never went. I want to tell you, we don't always know the end result. We don't always know how things are going to turn out. Jesus talked about the tares and the wheat. The tares and the wheat. A man went and planted good seed in his field. He was excited about the harvest that it was going to bring that year. But at night while he slept, an enemy came in and planted weeds among the wheat. And when the wheat started growing, so did the weeds. And in this case, the weeds were probably, it was a poisonous plant that they had called darnel. It was related to wheat, and you couldn't tell the difference by looking at it until the harvest came. But a wise farmer knew that if you go out and try to pull up the tares, you're going to end up pulling up the wheat too. And so to save the wheat, you just had to let them both grow until the time of harvest. We don't always know the end result of people. We see what we see today, but God sees the end from the beginning. And sometimes we can look at someone and we can think, well, they're not valuable in the kingdom of God, and they're not doing the will of God, and they're just a tare among the wheat. And in our flesh, we can feel like, oh, I'm going to go over and I'm going to pull that out because that doesn't need to be in the church, and that's not right. But we got to be careful. Because sometimes you pull out the tares and you're going to pull out the wheat, and you don't know which is which. And so a wise farmer lets them both grow until the time of harvest, and you let the Lord deal with it. You let God deal with it because he's going to divide the tares from the wheat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I know sometimes we got to, you know, deal with stuff in the church, and we're not going to have chaos and confusion and all that. But sometimes you just don't know the end result. You might look at someone and think they're going to turn out a certain way, but you don't know what God's doing in their heart, and you don't know what they're being led of. And sometimes the Spirit's working, but they've built walls up, and it just takes time to get through those walls. But then all of a sudden, one day, it's like they've done a complete turnaround because God's been working all along, and you couldn't see it on the outside. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we get frustrated sometimes because people, we think they should be doing better, and they should be living more faithful, and they should be living in victory. But sometimes we just got to step back and say, you know what? God knows what's in their heart. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to lift them up. Don't always know the end result. Back again to the first, or the two sons. Notice the father didn't speak to the sons together. He went to one, then he went to the other. He spoke to them individually. They received the same request, first to the one and then the other, but it was an individual call. I want to tell you, God's calling each of us individually. We have a purpose. We have a calling. We all have a part in the kingdom of God. And sometimes we get to looking at others and we think, well, they're much more qualified than we are to do God's work. But God has a purpose for them, and God has a purpose for us. And he's calling each one of us to answer his call to be a part of the kingdom. And so the father asked the sons to help. And that should have been enough. That really should have been enough. He should have just had to ask, and they should have been willing. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. The father said, come work in my vineyard. He said, I want you to come work and take part in the family business. The fact that the vineyard belonged to the father should have mattered to the son. But he answered and said, I will not. He refused. Now, we don't know if he had other things that, you know, he thought were more important. Maybe he was just being rebellious. I don't know what the situation was, but he refused to comply and to do what his father asked. And how many of us have found ourselves in that place where we fail God, where we refuse to do His will and we don't answer His call. He's calling, but we've got other things that are more important and things that we want to do, and we're too in love with our flesh or the things of the world. And when that call comes to do the will of God, we choose to go do something else instead. But Matthew 21 and 29 says, He answered and said, I will not, but afterward He repented and went. Somebody needs to hear this right now. Your start may not have been the best. Come on, you may have refused. You may have rebelled against God's will. You may have trusted in the things of this world. You may have been lost in sin. But somewhere along the way, if you can repent. Come on, somewhere along the way, if you can let that conviction get a hold of your heart, and if you can make up your mind that you're not going to continue down that road anymore, you're tired of being out of the will of God, you're tired of pleasing the flesh, and if you'll repent, come on, if you'll say enough of this, I've got to get back to the will of God. I've got to get back to His purpose. I've got to get back to the plan He has for me. Oh, but He repented. If you can repent, you can please God. Hallelujah. Oh, the enemy would like you to believe that when you've messed up, it's all over. And that's it. There's no more mercy. There's no more grace. There's no more chances. But I tell you, when we repent, it cancels out what happened before. Amen. God says, I'm going to wash away some of those things. I'm going to make you clean. I'm going to make you a new creature. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stop carrying that stuff around. Why don't you come to the altar and say, Lord, I put it on the altar. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. I don't want to do those things anymore. And Jesus takes those sins, and it's as far as the east is from the west. You might be thinking of it, and you might be carrying guilt and shame, but He's already paid the price to deliver you and to cleanse you and to make you new. Now, that's not a license to sin, because there's heartache and there's consequences and there's responsibility when we fail. But wherever we find ourselves tonight, the key is to get right with God. Don't let it go on any longer. But we can leave this place tonight having repented and doing the will of God, and we can be back in obedience to His plan for our lives. The first son refused, but then he repented. Then Jesus said in Matthew 21:30, and He came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. The first son said no, and then repented and went. The second son said yes, but he didn't go. And notice something, he was real respectful about it too. He said, I go, sir. I mean, he said it with respect, but then he didn't do what he said he'd do. I remember when I was 6 years old, and we moved from Texas to Wisconsin. You want to talk about a culture change. Apparently, I had the most country-sounding Texas drawl that you've ever heard. I was 6 years old, and I wore cowboy boots. And if I didn't like you, I'd use my cowboy boots to kick you in the shins. And all the teenage girls, I was six, but all the teenage girls in our church thought it was so cute, and I didn't think so, and so I remember kicking some of them. And I got some spankings, I think, for that. But it was just a matter of weeks that my accent changed. Because people in Wisconsin talk differently than people in Texas. And I was tired of being different. I wanted to fit in. And so my parents had taught me to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, no, ma'am. Instead of saying what, I was to say, sir or ma'am. And that wasn't how they talked up north. And up there, they kind of said, they said, yeah, but they said it real fast where it was kind of just like, yeah. And depending on the inflection, it was either yes or no. So, yeah was yes, and yeah was no. Had to, so, are you hungry? Yeah. Are you hungry? Yeah. You see the difference? You had to listen real careful. But my parents wanted me to be respectful. And I do remember using it to my advantage, because if I ever got in trouble, like I remember one time, it wasn't my fault, of course, but at school something happened, I got in trouble, and it always helped to say, yes, sir. Do you understand what's going on? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, and so I probably did use it to my advantage some, but here we kind of get a mixture. We get some of the South and some of the North, but I like it when young people are respectful. But I like it more when they follow through with what they say. The second son, he said, yes, sir, but then he didn't do it. My wife and I, we laugh sometimes because we have a certain extended family member, and I'm not telling you who it is. This certain extended family member would come stay with us sometimes when they were younger, and you'd tell them to do something or not to do something, and they'd be like, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Like, you know, whatever it was we had just told them to do or not do, it was good as done. All right, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But then they wouldn't do it. And it was like they were so sincere. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And then they'd go right on doing what we had just told them not to do. But to hear their response, they were complying completely. A lot of people go to church, and they do like the second son. They believe the word of God is true. They intend to get serious one day about the Lord. They talk about doing the Lord's work. They keep up an external appearance of being a Christian, and they think that words and promises are enough. But the thing is, their heart's not really where it needs to be, because they're all talk and they're no action. The second son said, I go, sir, but he went not. And too many people today, they do not go. They talk about repenting and getting right with God, but they don't repent. They talk about being a believer, but they never really believe. They think about submitting to God one day, and they know they should, but they never really submit to His will in their life. And they say it's time for them to seek the Lord, but they never allow their will to crumble. It all just ends with their promises. I've mentioned this a time or two, I hesitate to say some of this because I don't want you to take it wrong, but I've had several people over the course of 17 years now pastoring come up to me and say, hey, pastor, I want you to know this is my church. New people that would come and just say, hey, pastor, this I'm in. I'm all in. This is my church. I'm here, pastor. You can count on me. And in my mind, I'm like, I've heard this before. And usually it's the very next service that I look around and where are they? And then they're missing. And sometimes I don't see those people for 6 months. But then they'll come back and get, oh, pastor, I'm getting right. This is my church. You're my pastor. And it's talk. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. James wrote in chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? There's more than just speaking it. There's more than just, well, I believe it. There's more than just, well, I'm going to have faith for it. But we've got to put our faith into action. There's some signs that are going to follow them that believe. There's some signs that are going to follow them that believe. It's more than to say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, what are you going to do about that belief? What are you going to put into action? How are you going to live? What are you going to change about your life? You can say you believe in Jesus all day long, but still go back to the same old way of living. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a transformation. There's got to be some things that are laid down on the altar. There's got to be a new way of living. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I'm looking for something real that gets on the inside of me and it starts working and it starts moving. And all of a sudden, I'm not comfortable doing those things I used to do. I'm not comfortable going to those places anymore. I'm not comfortable talking the way I used to talk. But there's something inside of me and I've got to make a difference in life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if you've been in the church for 30 years and there's never been a change about the way of life that you're living, maybe you need to get to the altar and say, Lord, work in me, move in me, because I've got to have a change. I've got to be different. I don't want to be the same person I've always been. Hallelujah. Jesus asked him, he said, which of the two sons did the will of the Father? They said, the first. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, the publicans, that's tax collectors, and harlots, that's prostitutes, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. In other words, they're saved before you. Now that's about the worst that you could be in that day, was a tax collector or a prostitute. In that culture, that was the lowest of lows. But Jesus said, they're going to make it to heaven before you do. They took it as a slap to the face. But he was calling them out right where they were living. Reading in Matthew 21:32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. It was a shocking thing to say that people considered so low in that society were more righteous than they were. But if the Pharisees were really as religious as they acted like, then they should have repented when they saw the lowest of low, those sinners repenting and coming to the Lord. But they wouldn't. They talked it up real big, but they would not repent. Here's a test of how spiritual we really are. What is our response when people come into the church from every walk of life? People who have truly had tragic lives, who have been abused and broken by the world. They've sinned every sin that there is. But Jesus, one day Jesus found them where they are. And they don't have everything together yet. But they're trying. They're trying. It might be two steps forward and one step back. Or it might be more like two steps forward and 10 steps back. You ever been there? But they keep on trying. And God's working and they're starting to make progress and God starts to use them. And then people who've been in the church for years, they look back at that. These people have been saying yes a long time, but they haven't been doing much. And they get offended, and who do these sinners think that they are? They have to wait their turn. They have to wait their turn. We're going to have to put them through 3 years of discipleship before they can ever pour punch at a social. We're going to have to make sure they really line up to everything we want them to do before they can mow the lawn. Come on, they've got to go through all of this before they can pray for the sick. They've got to get everything all perfect about their life before God can use them. Hey, I want to tell you, we're going to teach and we're going to train people and we're going to lead them along the way to truth. And there needs to be a difference. I just preached about it. But sometimes we got to take a step back and say, you know what? They're making progress.
Come on.
They're taking steps of faith. God's using them. God's opened the doors. So I'm going to help them every bit that I can. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shakoto bahasaya. Luke 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The one was speaking it, but the other was living it. He was really living it. I don't know about you, but I still go to the Lord in prayer like that. God, I need you. I need your help. I need your strength, Lord. I need your mercy, God. I need you to touch me with your power. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need you to cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. Amen. When you come to the Lord with a humble spirit, he said that he's going to exalt you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to let his blessings to shine upon you. What's our response when sinners come to the Lord? Do we look down on them? So thankful that we're so much better than they are. Or does it cause our heart to melt? And we're so thankful for what God has done in our life and what God's doing in theirs. Come on, where we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to come before the Lord. I'm just thankful to feel his presence. I'm thankful that I've been covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful that I can clap my hands and I can worship and I can dance and I can pray in the spirit. Come on, is anybody thankful that you're here? Are you thankful that you get to be in the house of the Lord, that you get to be filled with his spirit, that you get to be touched by his power? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope we don't take this for granted. I hope that we don't take this for granted, because there's people out there that they're hungry for something real. They're hungry for deliverance. They're desperate for a way out. And if we don't take this seriously, God's going to say, okay, I need your space. I need your space, because there's some other people I'm going to line up on this pew. There's some other people that they're going to worship in the house of God. They're going to clap their hands. They're going to dance in the spirit. They're going to come to this altar. If we don't take this serious, God can take our spot and give it to somebody else. Come on. I wonder why we're preaching like this. There's some people that can just sit back and just take it easy and think, oh, bless them, Lord. No, I want to tell you, I'm thankful that I get to be in the church. I'm thankful that I can be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful that I get an opportunity to feel his presence. Hallelujah. All across the house, I wonder if every person could stand right now and thank the Lord for the opportunity that we get to be in his presence, for the opportunity to be filled with his spirit, for the opportunity to feel his love and his power and his spirit overshadowing us. Lord, I thank you for it tonight. I praise you for it tonight, Lord. I worship you, God. Oh, I don't want to take this opportunity for granted. But God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Be merciful unto us, Lord. Oh, God. Come on. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. But he showered us with his mercy. He showered us with his grace, with his love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Do we not remember? You may be seated. Do you not remember what it's like coming into the church from the world? Do we not remember the struggles? Do we not remember making mistakes while we're trying so hard, but we're falling, and the enemy tells us that we're never going to make it? The enemy tells us that we can't ever be free. That it's just no use, and you might as well give up. And come on, we ought to be the best encouragement that struggling people have. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We ought to be the best encouragement. We shouldn't look down on others. I can remember preaching and pastoring in Texas, and got to find some help here. And there was a lady that she'd been struggling. If I'd had to deal with the people she had to deal with, I'd have been struggling too. And those old time sisters in the church that hadn't moved in years, but they ran the phone bill up, talking to each other about everybody else. And every once in a while, this lady would come to church, and all these, I guess they were aunts or something, they'd get around like, "Oh, you cut your hair again. Oh, you're wearing them pants." And they would just dress her down. And I wouldn't want to go to church with them either.
That's good.
I want to go to a church where people are going to love me. It doesn't mean that they're going to let me stay where I am, but we're going to have wisdom. We're going to be encouraging. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to teach doctrine. We're going to teach standards. But it's not your place to meet them at the front door and look them over and say, you don't measure up. No, that's not what we're going to do around here. Do you not remember when that was you? For such were some of you, and such was I. But the Lord had mercy on us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I believe that God is sending a revival of supernatural proportions. I believe God is already working on the souls of people in this city. We've never even talked to them. We've never even met them. But God's already started the work, and He's going to put us together at the right time, at the right place. And there's going to be a miracle, and they're going to be delivered, and they're going to be brought out of this world. Shalomahaya. But we've got to have a love for the people of this world. We can't look down upon them. We've got to receive them with open arms and say, "Hey, let me tell you about a better way. Let me tell you about a better way. I'm not judging you where you're at, but I've got some news. There's victory for you. There's a blessing for you. There's healing for your life." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand in closing with me? If you're in a struggle tonight, the enemy will try to twist things around. He'll try to tell you it's better for you to not even try than to try and mess up. He'll try to tell you, "Well, you're just being like the second son." Saying that you'll live for God, and then you go and mess up. That's what it'll say. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Clearly, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees that thought they were so righteous when they were hypocrites. It was the publican who wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven because he felt so unworthy that God said, "That man was justified rather than the Pharisee." Because those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. So if you're struggling tonight, I want to tell you, you keep a humble spirit. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep asking for forgiveness. You keep getting back up when you fall. If all you can do is just make it to church, then just come to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many times people get messed up in sin and they think, well, I got to get this stuff fixed before I come back to the house of the Lord because I've done so wrong and I've messed up so much and I'm embarrassed. And if they would just come to the Lord and let God deal with it. We can't fix it. We don't have that power. But when you get in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden all that's wrong starts being made right. Let God raise you up. Keep a humble spirit. And when God raises you up, when He sets you up, it wasn't your own strength that got you there. It wasn't you that climbed that ladder. It wasn't your own making. It was God who made a way. A few verses after the parable of the two sons, if you'll read with me Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. He said, the kingdom of God's going to be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. There's going to be a nation that's going to have harvest that you are meant to have, is what he was saying. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We're going to be broken. It's just a matter of how it happens. If we refuse and we say, God, I'm going to do it my way, I'm not live for you, I'm not going to submit, not surrender, then that stone's going to fall on us and it's going to grind us to powder. But if we will fall on the stone ourselves and say, God, I need you. Sometimes I pray and I pray this. I say, God, I'm not happy with the place I'm at right now. I'm not happy where my spirit is. I'm not happy with my progress. I'm not happy with my attitude, Lord. And you got to help me. If you'll fall on that stone, we're going to be broken. But it's better than the stone falling on us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This altar is open right now. I wonder if there'd be anybody that you just say, well, I'm going to be like that first son. I've made some mistakes and I've fallen down a few times and I've got some troubles, but I'm going to repent. I'm going to repent and I'm going to do the will of my Father. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you would get a hold of our hearts right now. I pray that you would move and minister in us right now in the name of Jesus. Let there be conviction that would grip our hearts. Lord, let there be a change in our mind. Let there be a change in our spirit. Make us more like you, oh God. Make us more like you, Jesus. Oh God, have mercy on us, I pray. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your blessings. But Lord, have mercy on me.
Lord, I humble myself before you. I humble myself before you right now. I need your help and strength. I need your mercy and grace. Lord, I need you to pick me up from where I'm at and help me. Give me a little strength, Lord. Lord, forgive me of every sin. Forgive me of every sinful thing I've done. Forgive me of the sinful things I've said. Forgive me of every sinful thought, Lord. I pray that you would forgive me. I repent of my sins right now, Jesus. I turn away from it, Lord.